navigate computer technology and the internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. You are listening to Breakfast Bites, and I am Felicia King. Today's show is about malvertising issues and how they just really have continued to be like the number one problem that we have to deal with, and how it's actually pretty darn easy to mitigate those risks if you just follow a strategy that I recommend, and I will go over that. And then I also want to talk about servers. Critical components that are in the servers that I oftentimes are finding out that other consultants have not included in the servers. And I've been seeing, unfortunately, a lot lately of prospective new clients. When I look at their systems, I see that they really have been sold a bill of goods, and that's not a, That's not a nice terminology when I see what other consulting firms have actually sold to them. Very briefly, undersold hardware, missing components. So anyways, we'll go through that later on. You know, a lot of times what I'm trying to do here is to help all of you become better consumers of IT consulting services, and also just how do you protect yourself better at home on your home computer? A lot of this is not hard. It is complex, though, right? There's this whole concept of the complexity gap, and that complexity gap is problematic. I think it's pretty much similar to the type of complexity gap that exists in high finance, right? Unless you literally have a master's degree in finance, you might really struggle with being able to properly evaluate how your own investment portfolio is functioning. And so then people outsource that. But the challenge becomes, do you know enough to be a good consumer of those types of services? And unfortunately, in the vast majority of cases, no. As a prime example of that, most people who have a 401k have no idea that they've actually given up their voting rights to their stock shares that they hold in that 401k. That it is actually the 401k broker that will do those investings, votings for you. And as an investor, you don't even get to see the proxy statements. You can't vote. And technically, those stocks aren't really yours. There's a thing called counterparty risk, and that counterparty risk is because you don't really own them. You're just kind of allocated those shares. The true owner of those shares and those stocks that you think you own is really the brokerage owns that. So that's one of the reasons why I have never really favored 401ks, because of that type of a complexity gap exists in finance. Well, that same type of complexity gap exists in the technology realm, except it might actually be worse in the technology realm. So a lot of what I try to do on this show is to dispel those concerns by bringing you up to speed on the topics that you need to know about. So let's get into two very interesting examples of malvertising that's just been exploding and going on for the last several months. And a lot of it has to do with the Angular worm and the Angular Trojan kits that are out there. So I'm going to tell you about a couple examples of that. And if you want to check out the URLs to these articles later on my website, feel free. So just go to qualityplusconsulting.com and go to the Breakfast Bites section, and you will see the links under the podcast for this show. So the first one is an article by Trend Micro. And by the way, those of you that don't know about Trend Micro, they are consistently, for the last 5 years at least, the only AV anti-malware vendor that consistently passes 100% and scores 100% on the AV tests. And there is no other vendor that can claim that. And so the question I have for you is, what product are you using? Because if you're using something like Webroot or Symantec or McAfee, then you're actually paying more for less protection. Never a good idea. So you might want to rethink that strategy. There's a number of articles on the Quality Plus Consulting website that talks a lot about a product called Trend Worry Free Business Security Services, which is approximately $39 a year. Clearly very affordable, but it does have to be configured by somebody who really knows what they're doing. So my strong recommendation is you find a security architect like my firm and buy a license from them, from that company, and then if you buy a license from us, we will actually manage it for you. And part of that is receiving reports on a weekly basis to help us keep on top of what's going on with our client systems. And it's interesting that this whole malvertising thing is quite relevant on this topic because I have one client who has not previously wanted to invest in a perimeter security appliance. And sometimes that can be okay. And I say sometimes that can be okay depending upon what that person's web browsing habits happen to be. Well, this individual tends to spend a lot of time on the internet and seems to go to websites that have tens of thousands of advertisements on them. And so on a weekly basis, I'm seeing reports where the client system is just seeing astronomical numbers of advertisement URLs being blocked. Now, that being said, that has not actually stopped the client from getting some suspicious things on the computer. And in some cases, something was downloaded, and then the Trend micro agent on the computer did stop. It did stop the malicious stuff. But the fact is that a much better approach is to actually stop it before it gets to your computer. And so that's really what the purpose for a perimeter security appliance is for. And the advantage to that is it's so much more cost effective than a reactive approach. And I say reactive approach is where you have a host-based security product on your computer, which is most definitely something that's essential and necessary to have. But by itself, it's not a complete solution because if the time at which the malicious garbage is getting scanned is the time at which it's either already been downloaded or it's in the process of being downloaded to your computer, then that might just be a little bit too late in some circumstances because some malware and ransomware is just really fast to execute, and there's always going to be a time gap between the time when it's literally detonating. And yes, that is the technical term that we use, where the malware is detonating on your computer. So the much more preferred approach is to literally detonate that malware prior to it getting to your computer. And that is what a perimeter security appliance can do. And I've talked extensively before about WatchGuard Fireboxes and what they do. And of course, now that this client has incurred the expense of having to deal with computer remediation incidences, it does become more cost effective to just proactively get a perimeter security appliance and put it in. And if you buy a perimeter security appliance and get it implemented properly, and it's got a license on it where it'll last at least 3 years, then it can be very cost effective because the maintenance on those is reasonably minimal after you put them in. There's going to be some training time associated with, and when I say training time, I'm not talking about training the owner of the appliance, but in terms of training the policies in the device to match what that client specifically needs. Because I certainly don't use the same policies for everyone. Everything is customized to meet the specific needs of that client. So let's go back to the Angler exploit kit. In the months of January, February, and March, and of course it's still going on now, but the Angler exploit kit has been undergoing a number of variants, and these variants keep getting more and more creative. And I think it's insightful and instructive to look at what's happening with these things and how do they behave so that you can mitigate yourself from being a victim of something like the Angler exploit kit. So the way it works is you're just browsing websites that, as far as you know, are legitimate. I mean, it might be something as simple as TimeWarnerCable.com or Zero Hedge or MSN.com. Heck, it could be the Kenosha News website. And all of these different websites have advertisements that are embedded in those websites. Now, the owner of the website almost never controls the advertisement content. That advertisement content is actually coming from an ad vendor. And I've talked before about how ad vendors don't really care about whether or not their content is secure. In fact, ad vendors have historically not done a good job of even vetting who they are selling advertisement content bandwidth to. So let's say you wanted to get your ad out to a particular, group or market, then the ad vendors, they have relationships with these website owners that attract that type of market. Okay, so let's say you were looking for soccer moms in the Midwest over the age of 40. Okay, some advertisement vendor is going to have that demographic, and they're going to know what sort of websites, soccer moms in the Midwest look at. And so you could contract with them to then have your advertisement delivered across the advertising network to all the websites where that advertisement could potentially be profitably delivered. So if the advertising company themselves do not properly vet the company who is writing the advertising content, well, then it's actually quite easy for criminals to utilize the advertising network to distribute their malware. And that's actually what's been happening. And even Google has not done a good job of preventing malware from getting delivered through their networks, which is why a lot of people are just straight up not only blocking all advertisements, but they're also blocking things like analytics. Now, in the grand scheme of things, do you really want to be tracked anyways? No, probably not. So analytics is a great idea for something to block. The challenge you will run into, though, is that there's some websites that just refuse to work properly if you block all analytics as a category. So then it comes down to the challenge of determining which analytics you need to allow in order for the website to function properly, and yet still prevent all the other analytics from getting to your computer systems. The other big advantage to a perimeter security appliance is that rule set that you put in there, and yeah, it can actually be very granular, and you can apply different rule sets to different sets of users, but that it's a one-to-many approach rather than an approach of configuring a single software product on a single computer. This is another advantage to the Worry-Free Business Security Services product that we heavily advocate and that we do offer to our clients, is that whole centralized management component of it, so that it also becomes that one-to-many, so that there's vigilance in looking at the settings and making sure that the settings are correct and they're staying up to date. Because as the software manufacturers release new versions of their software, which is actually reasonably frequent, I'd say, once a quarter or so, they put out new functionalities and features. You need to actually go in there and turn those functionalities and features on, or the product is not providing as much protection as it could be providing. And of course, that additional functionality is included in the price of the product, so why not use it? So this Angler exploit kit, you're browsing some web page, and there is some advertisement that's embedded in the web page. And what would happen, assuming that your compute you did not have a properly configured perimeter security appliance and your host-based security product was maybe not as effective as it could have been, or in some cases, they just can't protect against every known variant of these sorts of things because remember the whole detonation concept I talked about? Well, advanced persistent threats, their most host-based security products do not have any APT blocking. Not until you get into something like a high-end business class smart protection suite, which you're only going to get if you have more than 100 endpoints, right? So when you're talking about what are we doing in the really small business or the residential market space, then you really just don't have access to that technology as much. Although I have been doing extensive development into trying to find ways to bring that value in a cloud-hosted platform to even very, very small organizations with, say, 1 to 5 users. Because pretty much everybody needs advanced persistent threat blocking. So you can get it at the network layer, but then what if you take your laptop home and you use your laptop at home? Well, then the thing that's protecting you at that point is not only your brain cells, which we hope are always in full, in full protection mode, but the host-based security product itself, because it's on the computer, it travels with the computer wherever the computer goes. So let's say you're browsing that website, the malvertisement loads, it detonates, it will download what's called the BDEEP variant, which in turn dropped a piece of malware that was a Trojan. And so, what's the mitigation to this, right? Because I always want to help you understand how do you mitigate these threats. Well, number one, this BDEEP variant made use of zero-day or unpatched vulnerabilities that existed in products like Flash and Silverlight. And so how do you mitigate that risk? Well, you really need to be having your computer managed by somebody who is going to be on top of that and be patching your system for you in a rapid fashion with a sense of vigilance and quality control. And that is a service that we provide to even the smallest of organizations and home users here at QPC. We will patch your computer for you and make sure that it's up to date all the time. And as part of that protection, the other component is you have to get that host-based security product that's actually truly effective on your computer. So if you're using something like Symantec or Webroot or Bit9 or AVG, if you're using, Microsoft Security Essentials, really God help you at that point, that's the bottom of the barrel product out there. But if you're using anything other than a Trend Micro product that does not have the full integration into the smart protection network, then you do not have an adequate plan in place. And when you're looking at the fact that a high quality product is only going to cost you $39 per year per endpoint, then why on earth wouldn't you get that product? But I have to say again that it's not about just simply buying the product and installing it on your computer. It actually has to be configured properly. So, it makes sense to partner with somebody like QPC for those services. Now, the second article I want to tell you about is from TrustWave, which is actually the company that does certifications for PCI compliant organizations. And TrustWave does some other security things as well. But primarily, their business has been around the applications and associated with PCI compliance and the PCI compliance certification testing. So, they did some real interesting analysis on this Angler variant that's been running around. And they saw that the Angler variant was showing up on incredibly popular websites like Answers.com and Zero Hedge, and what they were finding out was that, literally, we're talking about millions of hits per day. So now you understand exactly why these malvertising hackers are so attracted to this mechanism of using the advertisement as an attack vector. It's because it's just pervasive. I mean, if you can get your malvertisement distributed to thousands of websites for a minor fee, it could be pretty lucrative to get the all of these endpoints compromised and potentially be stealing bank credentials and people's personal data files. And then there's, of course, ways that they can maybe they put some ransomware on your computer and hijack you that way. You know, any number of things that is either extortion or stealing of your bank credentials or something else that's sensitive. And so it's a very lucrative business. So the TrustWave guys went into some more analysis about what this thing was specifically doing, and I thought it was really interesting because it had some kind of fallback approaches. And again, we need to understand how these things behave, at least at a high level, so that you can then understand what mitigation techniques will be effective against these pervasive and seemingly ubiquitous attacks. So they explained how the malware literally would detonate through URLs and embedded iframes and tags that were in these web pages, these little, like you'd look at an iframe. When you go to a typical website, you can see where there's little embedded content on the side. Those are, in some cases, iframes. And so that's where the main component content of the website's being delivered by the website owner, whereas these other little side boxes or embedded things is actually coming from different content entirely. So in this case, they found where the malvertising vendor was actually brentsmedia.com, and this malvertising had JSON in it that was included in JavaScript. And that's important to know. There is a NoScript plugin for Firefox, and some technical people actually like it. The thing that I find problematic about it is that there's just a ton of websites that won't work at all if you say, nope, just block all script, just forget about it. And so if you were to actually use NoScript, which is a, you know, basically a JavaScript blocker for Firefox, you're going to find that a lot of legitimate websites just cease to function. So I don't think that's a valid approach, and I don't recommend that. So this JSON file executed through JavaScript was a really heavily obfuscated set of JavaScript commands that was in it was over 12,000 lines of code. So the problem that you know, I mean, how are you supposed to debug that, right? And what the code ended up doing was it was looking for all kinds of variants of its own malicious garbage. And a lot of what it was looking for was inside of C Windows System 32 drivers folder. Now, if you are not a member of the administrators group, you will not be able to browse the internet and have malware get on your computer and then have it infect that location because System32 is a protected admin-only location. So how do you mitigate that? Well, don't browse the internet as an admin account. But then, if the 12,000 lines of code did not find any of the pre-installed variants of its of the Angular exploit kit, then what it would do is redirect your web browser session to iframes and HTML tags at the Angular landing page, and then it would go through this whole thing again of the Bidip Trojan, and in this case, Tesla Crypt ransomware as well, trying to exploit your computer utilizing those unpatched vulnerabilities in software that could have easily been patched and prevented. So, just, you know, I want to just recap here. How do you mitigate this stuff? Don't browse the internet as an admin account. you should be using a perimeter security appliance so all this garbage gets blocked before it even gets to your computer. And then, as a necessary second layer of protection, you have to have a properly configured and properly capable host-based security product like Trend Worry Free Business Security Services. Then you have to patch your systems in a timely fashion. One of the services we offer to clients is to patch their systems within 48 hours of the patch being released. And I think if you look around, I've never heard of any other consulting firm that does that. But that's because we are a security consulting firm. Everything that we do is all about that interest of helping you make sure that your tool, which is your computing devices, continues to work properly. And the best way to do that is to maintain it properly and make sure that it's not getting hacked. So do as much as you can in order to prevent that. So I think it's actually pretty easy to mitigate the risk of getting this garbage, but you can't be sitting around and favoring what you think is, oh, I don't need that. I'm going to save myself that, $300 or whatever like that. Well, the thing is if your computer is compromised, how much is it going to take cost you to get it repaired? So you have to answer that question for yourself. And if maybe you're capable of rebuilding your computer from scratch all the time, and that's something that you don't mind spending your time doing, hey, go for it. My job here is simply to advise you. So let's move on to some problems that I've been seeing lately, which is undersized and inappropriately configured server hardware. And I want to make sure that none of you out there end up with some bad taste in your mouth associated with a particular brand. The brand is never the problem. The problem, in my 22 years of experience, is when some incompetent consultant is putting together a hardware spec for a client when they just really didn't know that hardware properly. I mean, if you're buying your Dell servers from somebody who isn't PowerEdge certified, then you really need to revisit that strategy. And this isn't the same as, oh yeah, Joe over here in our company is PowerEdge certified, but he's not the one who spec'd your server. No, it was the accounting guy. And indeed, I can tell you that I know of that exact circumstance that has occurred. And well, that hardware will never meet the needs of your organization. I was just talking to a gentleman a couple days ago where he's displaced another consulting firm recently, and that former consulting firm sold for $5,000 a server to their client who that thing only had a 1-year warranty on it. Now, who in their right mind would buy a server that only had a 1-year warranty on it? If that thing's not going to last more than a year, then what are you buying it for? It should have a 7-year warranty on it. And it needs to be sized properly in order to meet those needs over that 7-year time period. So clearly, this particular server that was recommended by an incompetent consulting firm, they, within 3 months of putting that server in, had to come in and buy more storage and put it into the server. And so that was more consulting dollars and hours spent on something that was completely preventable. And that problem has cropped up yet again earlier this week, with the new consultant now having his own challenges associated with that hardware that was improperly spec'd by the former incompetent consulting firm. So if you are being told to buy a piece of server hardware for like $5,000 or less, I would argue that you need a second opinion because I think you're being undersold, and by being undersold in the short term, it will be dramatically increasing your long-term total cost of ownership of that hardware and the potential adverse business impact that's associated with that. So we are out of time today. I hope you enjoyed the show. As always, you can send me your feedback at breakfastbites@gmail.com.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, this week featuring Anointed Body Care, all natural face, shower, skin care, hair, and